The following is an official announcement from the Australian government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella. They're closer than you think.
Oh, good morning, Roo, on this Friday morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Ooh,
it's Friday. Jesus, snuck through this week, isn't
it? Yeah,
very quick.
Yep.
Back at
this
work.
This week's been a blur for me.
Yeah.
It's gone through very quick.
It's been a blur for you.
Yeah.
Don't laugh. Hey, we didn't have to say it. You said it. What are you up to this weekend, Much?
No, very, very quiet.
Garbage.
No, today I've got, I must warn the hills. I did this a few months ago. There's about 15 of us from the Alberton Hotel heading up to the hills today for lunch.
Day release.
Day release. We're allowed one phone call.
What time are you starting?
10:30.
You bounded into the workplace today. You're
I'm
all
fresh.
Chef. It's like you're going to the bloody spring carnival.
Yesterday was like pre-season. I got ready yesterday.
What, quiet day
quiet
yesterday?
Quiet day. Went to bed early.
Swear to God.
Yeah. Washed my hair. Brushed my teeth.
Put
on some brute.
Wow, you really looked after yourself.
I am getting ready for this. Don't worry.
And then you're going down to the cellar.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be seen by anyone.
No.
Except
for
your
deep underground
mates from Port Adelaide.
That's right. Yeah. You might want to warn the bloke. It's Rob Chapman's brother who's got the pub, so you might want to warn him.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
What did you book under, Westpac or ANZ or something?
That's right.
Yeah. I thought you bloke said you were bankers. Wankers,
that's
we
it,
said.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Quite a little weekend coming up. Now, you'll be buried in the Alma, I would have thought, tomorrow. Caulfield Cup Day tomorrow.
I might have a couple of punts or two. We'll see what happens.
Coming up this morning, we'll cross out to Holden's. What a sad day. Sad, but in some ways we should celebrate just the great history of what's happened here in South Australia.
Yeah, we probably need to celebrate and move on, unfortunately. But another 1,000 workers, just about, 950 I think it is, that finish up a total of 3,000, of a total of about 25,000 that fed off that industry. So we'll cross to Mike Smithson out there today.
And Roo, you are the kingmaker. You've made it happen again yesterday. Bryce Gibbs, you got your man.
I didn't make it happen.
He
was the one who wanted to come home, and we just paved the way for him. So I think I'm really looking forward to both clubs next year. Honestly, we could have two good sides next year, and we'll have a chat to Bryce Gibbs about how excited he is. 11 years at Carlton, it'll be a sad day for him yesterday, but you know, if he can play on a good side for the last few years of career, that's what you really want at the end of your career. You want success. You're not worried about too much else. Yeah.
Hey, there's a story that went around overnight that Mel, the button pusher, made us aware of. Gene Simmons, the lead singer of Kiss.
What's he been doing?
He bought Carlton Football Club for a day.
Well, wouldn't it cost much?
He did it as a tax dodge, apparently. So he bought the Carlton Football Club only for one day. Apparently, he bought it, then he saw them play.
Said,
no.
What the hell did I buy that for? Who gave me that advice?
Biggest mistake of his life. Anyway, plenty happening today. Stick with us here, despite the crap we've just talked about for the last 3 minutes. Ruined Dits on Triple M, all thanks to Southern Volkswagen.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
610 Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Roo, the things making news around the globe. A few weeks ago, you told me how well US stocks are doing since Donald Trump has come into power.
The stock market was at an all-time high.
I can tell you, I heard stats this morning that over the last 4 weeks, there have only been 3 down days. They are, again, at record highs over there. Stocks are going berserk. Despite
creating jobs as well, though, aren't they?
Yeah, and you'd have to say that he does come in for a lot of negative publicity. Let's face it, just about every day there's a very negative Trump story.
Well, they're trying to be very negative towards him.
And yet, the stocks continue to rise. So something's going well over there, and for whatever reason. Now, maybe it is just the fact that he's the president. I don't really know.
Well, they're
saying
they're going to lower taxes and do all these things and try and fire up the economy. So if you lower taxes and create jobs, businesses are going to make more money.
So record highs again, which is amazing. One stock that was down yesterday.
We nearly had a blue over that, didn't we?
No, no, no. We had a discussion.
Did we?
Yeah. Didn't have a blue.
Wasn't it?
No. I said something about the value of stocks and you tried to educate me.
And we ended up kissing and making up, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which we do every now and then.
Yeah. Now, oh, well, this is me. This is some sort of piecemeal, I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, that's good.
You were absolutely
spot on. No, that's fine.
On.
That's all right. That's all right. That's good.
Well, a gift horse in the mouth.
No,
now, the point I wanted to make, I heard a stat this morning that I was staggered with. Now, Apple is their biggest stock. That's the biggest company.
Yep.
Right, in the US at the moment. Do you know that it's bigger than, you know, our four big banks? It's bigger than our four banks combined.
Yeah, well, that's how small Australia is. We're 25 million people.
I was really
we?
Surprised by that, though.
Yeah, but how big? How many people in America? I got no idea. Is it how many hundreds?
300 million for
a
round
so
figure.
It's, high 200. What's that for? It's 12 times bigger than Australia.
Yeah.
So that's you know, so it's easy to understand how small we are compared to that. But no, he's got things rocking over there. Anyway, old Trumpy. This is an interesting story. Child protection in South Australia. We spent $126 million for emergency housing for at-risk children. This is in 2016 in South Australia.
What are you talking about for 1 year?
In 1 year. Their budget was $25 million. We spent $126 million. So $100 million blowout. Now, there's a few stories there. I didn't think we would have that many at-risk children, but we're learning that more and more with the stuff we do on this show, which is very sad in our little old state of South Australia that would have so many vulnerable kids out there for starters. But to spend $126 million housing and feeding and accommodating these kids is unbelievable.
Mm. Well,
we need more foster carers. We need obviously better programs in place.
Better programs
for these kids. We need better facilities. By the sense of, they must be paying $468,000 they spent on one kid in 1 year. One kid's been in protection for over 5 years. It's cost the state $2.58 million on one poor kid.
The only thing I could say in response to that, without knowing anything about it, Roo, is it must be essential spending if that child needed that care.
Yeah, he's got a few issues, there's no doubt about it. It's a lot of money, though, isn't it?
It is a lot of money. So clearly we need to get better at it with the programs and how we look after these kids. But to have a budget of 25 and it blows out to 126...
it's frightening, isn't it? Well, they're using hotel rooms and...
Kids... Well, in this day and age, why are we having young kids staying in hotel rooms?
That's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't we build a facility that could, you know, one day can be transferred to, you know, who knows, something else.
Yeah.
But it just seems an abnormal amount of money for a place like Adelaide, I would have thought.
Mm.
The Loch Eel Monster. Now, I don't know, if you haven't driven north of Jepps Cross or you haven't gone to Port Augusta or the Iron Triangle or anything like that, you wouldn't know what we're talking about. But there's a place called Loch Eel, which is past Port Wakefield. And if you're heading north, there's a lake out on the right. And a few of the local characters have built the Loch Eel Monster there out of old rubber tractor tyres and bits and pieces.
I thought it was real. Don't spoil it.
Okay. Well, it's spoiled now, Ditz, because they ripped its head off.
Oh, no.
They've taken out the head of the Loch Eel Monster. I know. Don't worry. All our family see it every time we drive to Port Augusta to see the in-laws. But it's after about 30 years or something, someone's pulled a bloody head off.
I'm kidding. The headless monster.
Yeah. So they thought, you know, someone might have ripped her out and just chucked in the bushes or whatever. But can't find it. So.
Come on. Please put it back.
Yeah.
It's part of South Australia.
The mystery of the Loch Ness Monster continues, doesn't
it? It is a part of the drive north. As you said, when you've got kids in the car, you need to see the Loch Eel Monster.
That's right.
Come on, it's not very fair.
Just a little favourite for SA tourism.
Yeah. Hey, Roo, in a moment, Alice Cooper played in town last night. We're going to find out how the concert went. He dropped in on the rush hour yesterday, which was fantastic. He's been a big part of Triple M over the last few years.
I had a head of golf, too, by the looks of it in the paper. He's had a picture.
Went down to Glenelg, because we've interviewed him. He plays golf nearly every day.
Loves it.
Yeah, and is very, very good at it. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M.
Roo and Ditz for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, another big week on The Breakfast Show.
Sure has been, and this is our favourite segment, The Week That Was.
Game on. Welcome aboard. The top five things we've learned on Roo and Ditz this week.
Number five, we learned Chris Dittmar suffers from hay fever. Yeah, you're getting me fever. Allegedly.
Bloody pollen at the moment. My eyes are that itchy.
Oh, yeah.
What? What?
Good on you, Ditz. You're blaming the old pollen count for
your
bung eyes, eh? And we're all going to fall for that one.
What are you alluding to?
Who do you think you're talking to?
There's
people that have been around a little bit.
Hay fever out there.
Oh, yeah. All those people at the pub down on North Terrace, they all suffering or not?
Now, Roo is not a doctor, but Ditz, he thinks you had an allergic reaction to 15 glasses of Sauvignon Blanc. Number four, we learnt that Roo may have bought a haunted house.
Saw one of the ex-owners of the house I bought. He sort of said, "How are you going in the house?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, pretty good. We're settling, you know, settling in." He goes, "Mrs. reckons there's a ghost downstairs." The kids have been down there during the day, left the light on downstairs, so, you know, I had to go and shut it off. And the light switch was over the other side of the room.
Right.
So I turned the switch off. And all of a sudden, well, I thought there was a ghost behind me. I just scooted up the stairs and thought, shit, I'm safe. I've got the time.
You're pathetic.
I know.
So we can confirm anyway here, right now, that Roo sleeps with the light on.
Number three, we learnt that even if you have your own radio show, an AFL Premiership medal, a Brownlow medal, own 10 pubs, have a standard Adelaide Oval named after you and win back-to-back premierships for Wakery, you can still go unrecognised in the Riverland.
Checked into the Renmark Hotel, and as you're filling out the card, you know, your address and name and everything, lady on reception says to Roo, "Have you been to the Riverland before?" According to Sarah, your bottom lips quivered. Dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
And
nearly assaulted her. Set, the truth is...
What
when
happened?
I did check in and did give her my name and Visa card and all of that, and she said, "Have you been to the Riverland often?" A massive smile come on my face.
Oh,
and
oh.
I turned around and I said, "Only a couple of times."
Only a couple of times.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Number two, we learnt all about cranes.
As we look out our window here, I watched this fella go up 13 ladders, crane guy.
Mm.
I thought they'd have a lift. Crane guy, surely you've got Triple M on.
Are you listening to Triple M, crane guy?
Wave to us, come on.
How are you, all right?
We got him!
It doesn't
we
get
got
any,
him.
Any more instant or live.
Crane guy's picked up the phone.
Of all the things that you could ask crane guy, how do you get into the job? Are you afraid of heights? Does it pay well? Can you see my house from there? The guys chose to start with this important question.
Now, is there a toilet up there?
There is no toilet at all.
So when you need
what
a number
do?
Two, what do you do?
Well, you try and time your body clock. So it's smoko and lunch only.
Kidding. How many hours are you left up there for?
Oh, it's usually about 10 at the moment. Come down usually once for lunch at about sort of 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Lunch
and then,
in a poo?
Yeah, lunch in a poo, that's really it. That's the routine.
Yeah, these are the highlights of the week. And the number one thing we learnt on Roo and Ditz this week is that Roo still loves to party. During the week, he went to a pool party and a sausage fest on the one night.
Kids have been pestering me for a week or two to get in the pool, as
yep.
they do. And I said, "Yeah, you can go in. It's going to be a bit cold, though." Oh, it's a bit cold as well, so we'll end up having a little shower at the end of the day. But there's five snags hanging down.
Right.
Curiosity got the better of Tom, and he thought he'd better grab it. And
yeah.
I said, no, you're not allowed to do that. And the other kids start laughing their heads off. I said, "No one's allowed to touch you, Willy, other than yourself or maybe your girlfriend." Joe's my 7-year-old. He loves having a laugh. And he goes, "Has Mum touched your willy?" At that point, I just lost it laughing as well. And I said, "Oh, maybe once. But not very much anymore."
The top five things we've learned on Roo and Ditz this week.
It's been a good week, Ditz.
There's no explanation, really. Roo and Ditz, you're on Triple M.
Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
I'd like to talk to our favourite comedian, Lawrence Mooney. Moon Man, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits. Good morning to you, Roo, and hello, Adelaide. My wife has clearly sent the flare up that I've had too many Big Macs and pies.
Oh,
what's happened?
She signed us into a couples boxing one-on-one.
Oh, no.
This so has got... Maybe, yeah. She wants to get me in the ring just to teach me a couple of lessons, maybe pay back for Alex earlier in the year. I know that you like to remember that, Roo.
The passion.
So we've just got the boxing trainer, and it's me and Lulu, and this morning's the first session. So she's very classy in the rings. You know, she's got the long reach. She's more than Muhammad Ali, and I'm more Manny Pacquiao after meeting Jeff Horn. I take a lot of punishment around the head. But the upside, of course, couples training. I don't know whether it can actually work or not, but I just love the bit at the end where I go, all right, everyone, let's hit the showers.
Very good.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey,
Moon Man, you know...
No, not the trainer, not you, mate.
Moon Man, yesterday was draft day, of course. It all finished yesterday in Brisbane. A big signing for Brisbane. They picked you up.
Well, absolutely. There's a couple of parallels between the AFL and Triple M because Triple M have signed me and Gold Coast have signed Luke Hodge. So two blokes in the twilight of their careers just seeing it out in the sunshine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're going to have to slow down a bit. If you're doing Triple M Brisbane, you've got to speak a bit slower. And they're all troppo up there. So
right.
Yeah.
Start drinking Bundy.
I'm not going to just fall into that Queensland way of life just instantly like that. But I tell you what, Pauline Hanson has got some interesting things to say.
Well, you find that, do you?
No. You've lost it already. Hey, poor old Holden shutting down here in Adelaide.
Very emotional.
And very sad day for a lot of South Australians. Have you got a thought on...
Well, absolutely. I have been a Holden man. You know, in Australia, you choose your politics like you choose your cars. You're Holden or Ford or Liberal or Labor. And we were definitely a Holden family. My old man had an HR way back in 1973.
Beautiful.
Beautiful green with the white roof. And then he went on to an HG. My brother had an HT.
Ooh.
And I bought an HR as well. 1966, one of the first ones off the line. And I just love that car. So it is a very sad day for Australia. And when you think that as that rolls off, that there will be no cars manufactured here ever again. Mm. It's kind of a weird thing to conceptualise because it's been a big part of people's lives, not only in Elizabeth and in South Australia, but down here at Fisherman's Bend in Melbourne as well.
Yep.
So farewell, Holden, and thanks for all the memory. You know, I have spent some time in the back of Holden panel vans as well, both police paddy wagons and actually. So...
What was the favourite time you got arrested?
I reckon there was this mob scene outside a pub once in Melbourne. And tell you what, it's exhilarating when you punch a policeman, but only for
don't say that. Hey, Moons, we got to go. Thanks for talking to us, mate. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys.
Very good morning.
Good luck with your wife,
very
mate.
Good morning to the constabulary.
Yeah, so
we love you all.
Never
we really
punch
do.
A policeman.
No, ruined it's on Triple M.
Tickets on sale now for Hotter Than Hell festivals. More info at hotterthanhelltour.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruin Dids. $1,000 pressure test.
Right, let's try and give away a grand, Roo.
Let's go to Woodcroft. G'day, Johnny.
Hey, g'day, Roo. How you doing? How you going?
Very, very well. What are you up to today, John?
Oh, you know, the exciting thing, going to work. Just, trying to sell some bathroom products, actually.
Oh, good idea.
You save yourself, Christ.
Selling bathroom products. That's what got you a shot at the pressure.
Riveting, isn't it?
No, hey, mate. Everyone's got their role, mate, as long as you're having fun and paying the bills.
Now, John, just before the 7 o'clock news, we were talking to the Moon Man, Lawrence Mooney, about police. In 30 seconds, name 10 ranks a police officer can attain.
Oh, corporal, sergeant, inspector,
senior sergeant.
Wow. Senior sergeant, yeah.
Constable.
Constable.
Cadet.
Cadet. Police commissioner.
Yeah.
Deputy. Oh, wow.
Deputy.
Senior sergeant. Senior.
Oh. Good work.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Correct.
You haven't been in trouble enough, John.
No.
You could have detectives.
I don't normally look at their badges.
Inspector, senior inspector.
Yeah, detectives undercovers.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, John, we're going to send you off to see Grinspoon at the Hotter Than Hell Tour. You can go to the website hotterthanhelltour.com.au.
Star Force.
Yeah, Starries. Yeah. Hey, Roo, the last day of Holden today. Let's head out to Elizabeth in just a moment and find out what's happening out there. Apparently, a lot of people have gathered outside the factory to farewell everyone out there. A big, big day, the end of an era here in South Australia. Roo and Dits on Triple M.
Roo and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, today can only be described as the end of an era. I can't imagine my life living in Adelaide without the Holden's plant. There's something very, very sad about it. There's also something to celebrate about how brilliant it's been for South Australia and the great work that they've done over the decades.
Yep, I'll probably go close to shedding a tear when you think about all the Holdens and the cars and the V8s and everything, and you think about Central Districts and you think about Holden, don't you? And they're so proud. Even Peter Vardy, one of my great mates, they all worked on the line out there. They're all proud of it. They all love loved Holden. It's a real big thing for the people that live out north.
All right, let's head out to Elizabeth right now. Channel 7's Mike Smithson is there. Mike, it will be an emotional day, won't it?
Yes, good morning, boys. It's already an emotional day, I tell you. There would be at least 100 people, just punters, most of them wearing Holden jackets, not workers here, just people who want to be here for the last stage. I can see a sort of lime, almost puke green Vacation of Commodore, 1980, father and son with the Aussie flag on it. They've just turned up because they said, we're so sad about it closing, and we love our Holdens, and we just want to be here. We want to be part of history. So a sad day. The workers will be turning up in the next hour or so it's not really an official shift today, coming to see the last car come off the production line, which is a red Commodore, a V-line, I think it is, or an R-line. The workers are being treated with great respect today, as they should be, but it's not just a day for workers. It's a day for everyone who loves their Holden and to commemorate a great Australian and a great South Australian icon.
Smitho, there's about 950 jobs, I think, to finish off. What are they getting up to out there today? Do you know what plans they've got out there?
Yes, to start with, they just turn up and watch the car come off the line, and there will be a lot of photographs, obviously. Then they're all being put in buses, 16 buses, I think it is, and being taken to another location for a wake, you could call it.
Yep.
Some might celebrate, some might commemorate, but they all want to be together for a function off the site. They don't think it would be appropriate to have a barbecue or anything here, so they're going elsewhere.
Oh, they'd have to go to the old spot or something, wouldn't they?
they might be going to one of your pubs, Drew.
No.
I don't know.
McMahon's Tavern.
McMahon's.
It's all real, somewhere like that. Smitho, I know you keep up with the pollies on a daily basis. Are we confident that there's going to be enough sort of transition schemes or training schemes moving forward to try and integrate these people back into the workforce?
The government says they're doing a lot and they're putting money into retraining, as you say, but I think it's driven more by Holden itself. To me, the company has been exemplary in the way that it's tried to find workers' jobs. They've had something like 400 companies come through here to cherry-pick workers and give workers a great opportunity.
Wow.
Their redundancy packages are very generous as well.
Do they get an average payout of $300,000, the workers?
Well, I'm not sure. If it's that much, I guess some. If you've been here long enough, it might be that. But it's certainly the entitlements plus, plus, plus. And some of them have been able to, if they can afford to spend the money, build their own cars before they go. So they'll be great keepsakes for the workers. But Holden itself, it's worked on this for 4 years and it's had full-time people working to get people into the workforce, into another vocation. But it's hard to believe that 4 years ago to the day, I was standing here saying, well, Holden's going to close, but gee, it's a long way off. Standing in the exact same spot today, it's just hard to believe that it's actually come.
Smitho, with all the Holden outlets in South Australia and people who still love Holdens, I could presume the cars are coming from, what, America or something for the future, are they?
I think that most of the imported models will come from Europe or come from Asia.
Okay.
So it'll still be a Holden brand. It just won't be the Holden brand that's built in Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And that's the great shame. And I don't think anyone knows the full impact until today and beyond today. A lot of people just reminiscing, but a lot of sadness here at the same time.
Yep, for sure. It is the end of an era. Mike Smithson from Channel 7, thanks a lot.
Good on you guys.
Triple M.
Well, Roo, you finally got your man. Some people would argue it's taken 2 years, but you finally landed the big fish.
Yeah, Bryce Gibbs is coming home to play for Adelaide, and he joins us now. Good morning, Bryce.
Good morning, boys.
Do you feel like a Crow yet, or do you still feel like a Carlton player?
Oh, I tell you what, it's still sinking, I think. Yeah, it was a massive day for me and my family, and, yeah, it was a bit of an emotional one as well, but sad to say goodbye to a lot of Carlton people, but certainly excited for what lies ahead and the journey I'm about to take with the Adelaide Footy Club.
Bryce, funny you talk about, you know, big day for your family. I was actually out in the car with your sister yesterday morning because she works here at Triple M with us and she's a sales rep, and we went to visit a client, and every news break it was all about Bryce Gibbs, and she kept turning the radio up. And I said to her, you know, to hear your brother spoken about non-stop constantly, it must be enormous pressure, and you went through it 12 months ago as well. You know, now all of a sudden you're in a town where everyone here is, you know, they talk about you and they talk about the Crows. It's going to be a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. There's a lot of media hype in the town where there's only two teams, but it's hard for your immediate family, I suppose, as well, because they're at home and they're listening to all the talk and all the speculation as well, and it's hard not to get wrapped up in it and worry about it at times, but unfortunately, that's the way it is footy these days. But you know, they're certainly very excited that a deal was able to get over the line, and they're certainly happy to have me around the place a bit more.
Now, if I can just share something with you as well about your family. She said, oh, it's okay that Bryce is coming home, but she actually just wants to see your little boy all the time. Was he two years old? Is that right?
Handy,
dude. Yeah, that's
right. This is true. I'm certainly not the number one priority anymore when I come home. It's all about little Charlie. And I think it's going to be great that he can spend a lot more time with his aunties and his grandparents and grow up with them. And hopefully there might be another couple of kids on the way. We'll see how we go.
Family's important, always good to be around them. But I presume playing in a successful team would be something that you'd be looking forward to as well. Carlton have been down the wrong end of the ladder for a while, Bryce, so it'd be good to play some finals football.
Yeah, there was a couple of big key things that really drew me to Adelaide. Obviously, we've spoken about the family side, but the Crows have had a couple of unbelievable years, and I don't want to get too ahead of myself either, because you're not guaranteed anything in this game. I still know there's a lot of hard work to be done, and I think I can come over and play a role and help the club get some more success. And it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm really looking forward to the challenge, though.
A lot of people have asked me, where will Bryce play for the Adelaide Crows? Obviously, Brodie Smith is out for probably two-thirds of the season at half-back. There's been talk of just extra midfield depth required at Adelaide. Will you see yourself play a variety of positions in the centre square, on the wing, at half-back, maybe even half-forward?
Yeah, without talking to the coach or any of the other coaches in too much depth so far, I think I'm a pretty versatile sort of player, so I'd be happy to sort of plug a few holes wherever needed, and through the midfield, half back, half forward, wherever I can fit in. I've obviously still got to earn my stripes and get a game first, but I think I can add some good variety in a lot of positions.
You'd want to earn your spot. We just gave away half the farm to get you, so.
Bloody hell.
What about, tell us, how hard was it to speak to Brendan Bolton? This is something probably not a lot of people would know about. So you've got to go and tell your coach that you've had for the last few years and your club that you've been at 11 years that you want to go home. How daunting or confronting is that for a player?
Yeah, these conversations are never easy. And sort of the way it all played out last year, if I was going to request a trade again, I needed to be sure that it was fully going to be deal done. But I think with guys like Brendan, he's my coach, my good mates at the club who are also other senior players, the relationships you build with these people through having tough conversations, just like the one I had to have the last couple of days with the club, and when I asked to leave again, it actually makes it a little bit easier. And the respect you have for each other by having those tough conversations at times, it makes it a lot easier. So as tough as it was, he listened to what I had to say. He took that on board and he gave me his thoughts and feelings back. And that's just the way it is. So as tough as it is, it makes it easier through the strong relationships that we've had over the last couple of years.
Bryce, well done. It's a great result for everyone. As you said, you know, your family and for your football career, it's going to be fantastic. Now, you said yesterday on the rush hour that you've got your eyes on the number six Guernsey, which has been vacated by Jake Lever, but you know that number 32 is available as well.
I do. When they were running through the numbers yesterday, I was like, wow, it's pretty spoiled for choice. There's some pretty quality numbers available. So, yeah, obviously, if any of the other boys want to downgrade the smaller numbers, they obviously get preference. So I haven't spoken to really anyone about numbers just yet.
Is that how it works? Is it so someone's number six, they can get it before you? Is that how it works?
Oh, I'd certainly.
You may end up with 52, Sean Wren.
It would have been at the club. I wouldn't mind that either. Sean Wren, that's 52. That's a good number. It's got a lot of good history behind it. So yeah. I wouldn't rule anything out just yet.
Because you know, there's been some great players wear 32. Bruce Lindsay. Patrick Dangerfield.
Troy Menzel.
Do any others spring to mind or not?
Leave it at that.
Good on you, Bryce. Well done. And we look forward to seeing you playing here next year.
Thanks, boys. Looking forward to getting over.
Good luck moving house.
There he is. Bryce Gibbs. Thanks. And I know you're very excited about that, Roo.
I think it's just good to get a bit of extra quality into the Adelaide midfield. We've heard enough about that the last couple of years. Well, they've got to him and Sam Gibson from North Melbourne in, so no excuses next year.
All right. Oh, big statement from Roo. No excuses next year. There you go.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
The most important person in Dustin Martin's life missed his grand final victory. His dad, deported from Australia.
It means the world to me. He's just always been my support.
He's never been to jail. But our government kicked him out.
What have I done?
Yet this convicted killer can stay. Why is it one rule for Dustin's dad and another for her?
Tore our family apart.
His final shot to bring his dad home.
You can't put a price or anything on having family there.
Only on 7 Sunday night.
There you go. This is a big story. When you read it that way, that he's never been convicted or jailed of anything,
yeah,
it is a bit odd, isn't it? Let's go to the man who's put this story together at Channel 7, Alex Cullen. Alex, good morning.
Morning, Dits.
Having met the two, how do you come away from it? Is he a bad fella? Is he a nasty piece of work, Shane Martin?
Look, if you've seen Shane Martin, you'll notice there's a lot of tattoos on his face. And it's funny, the longer you spend with him, you don't see them anymore. We were over there in Auckland with him, where he now lives, where he's been deported to, where he was forced to watch the Richmond Tigers beat the Adelaide Crows. Sorry, guys, but over there in Auckland. But look, he's a nice bloke. He's a good bloke, and he's being forced to live over there away from his family. Yeah, he's done some wrong in the past.
What's he done wrong?
What's he done wrong?
You don't get deported for nothing, do you?
Yeah, look, he is the president, was the president. He's still a life member of the Rebels motorcycle gang. He was a rebel president of the Camden chapter over here in Sydney.
Yep.
And, you know, in the federal government's eyes, the Rebels motorcycle gang is a criminal organisation. So under the law, if you're part of a criminal gang, you're out. You're finished. You're done. No judge, no jury, gone. So now Shane Martin's asking the question, well, hang on, what have I done wrong? For the last 13 years, he's been squeaky clean since 2004. He hasn't been to jail. Yet this woman in Geelong, mother of five, been to jail 16 times in the last 14 years, 31-year-old, she gets to stay. She was born in the UK. She came out to Australia when she was two. Like I said, jail time, lots of jail time. She gets to stay. Shane's got to go.
So how does the Australian government justify that? Because listening to those two things, you'd think she'd be the one gone and potentially he'd be the one staying.
Look, I think the fact that our Kelly Webb, this woman I speak about, she has five children in this country. The youngest is 2 years old. I think that helped her case. But also, the fact remains that she is also, she was convicted of manslaughter. She actually murdered her stepfather back, well, a few years ago now. He was a very violent alcoholic. And so, look, they always take these circumstances into account. But again, the fact remains, I actually asked the immigration minister, Peter Dutton, there are some serious indiscrepancies here. But look, he said, look, we take each account into consideration. And this is what I've decided. And basically, Shane Martin's not coming home.
Now, you've spoken about him in, I guess, glowing terms. You said he's a nice bloke. People listening right now would say, and I don't happen to know any of these people myself, but if you're the president of an outlawed bikie gang, you're probably a dangerous person. You're probably not someone you want living next door. You're probably an undesirable. That would be a fair assumption for people listening right now, wouldn't it?
Absolutely a fair assumption. And, you know, of course, if you're an elected president of the Rebels motorcycle gang, yeah, it's not a good look. And I completely understand that. And the Australian public, I think the majority of the Australian public will say, get rid of him, get him out of here. But I've met the guy.
He's guilty of being a bikie then. If he hasn't been gone to jail or whatever and he hasn't committed any offences, the thing he is guilty of and what he is being deported for is guilty of being a bikie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty spot on there, Roo. And, I mean, like I said, there's been no convictions for the last 13 years. There is, and I must stress this, there is intelligence, there is secret intelligence, alleged secret intelligence on Shane. I asked the minister what that intelligence is, and you'll find out the answer on Sunday night. I don't want to give too much away.
Good.
So, look forward to this.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Yeah. Interesting story. Well done.
No worries, guys.
Go on, Alex.
Alex Cullen from Sunday Night on Channel 7.
That'll be worth watching.
It will.
I'll be watching for sure.
Look, there will be people out there as well, Roo, in society saying, I mean, we're all judgmental. So you hear the word bikey and you think, oh, frightening fella, you know, bad, undesirable. But if he hasn't done anything wrong for 13 years, if his record's clean,
been to jail.
Yeah, and isn't that what we ask for? We want to rehabilitate people in jail and hope they never, ever offend again. So maybe he is worthy of living here.
Yeah, sounds harsh to me, but we'll find out more on Sunday night.
All right, Roo and Ditts here, thanks to Southern Volkswagen.
Roo and Ditts for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, we've just about spoken everyone at Channel 7 this morning. It's another one. Now, if you were heading over the Nullarbor in the last couple of days, you would have seen Jessica Adamson landing a plane on the road,
on the
main highway. I know, unbelievable. Let's find out what it's all about. Jess, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Nice of you to save the best till last, by the way.
Yes, of course, yes. Now, what was happening out on the Nullarbor?
Well, it was quite something, I have to say. As you would both know from covering a bit of ground in the country, the Royal Flying Doctor Service occasionally, not that often, but just sometimes, has to make an emergency landing in the bush. And what you might not know is that in South Australia, we have two emergency road strip landings. So one of them is near Cooper Pedy and the other is on the air highway way over near the Western Australian border on the Nullarbor Plain. And so every now and then the RFDS like to practice doing that landing. And it's, as you can imagine, a pretty major logistical operation. We were lucky enough to fly with them. Police shut the highway. And even though it's really in the middle of nowhere, it's quite a busy road. So the traffic was banked up, most of them caravans and trucks, and police shut the road. These people really didn't know what was happening until we flew in, circled a couple of times, and then landed on the highway as if it was a runway. And it wasn't just us. In fact, the RAF were there, and they were, I think they were trying to pull off a bit of a secret training exercise until we got there. They landed a C-27J Spartan. So for the aeroplane geeks out there, they'd know what it was. It looks like a mini Herc. It weighs about 67,000 pounds, and they landed this massive thing on the road. I mean, what must the truckies have been thinking?
Yeah. So when you land there, Jess, do you pull off on the side of the road into the dirt, or what do you do?
Yeah, there's a little kind of, what do you call those bits, verges or whatever, off to the side of the road. So you can see when you're travelling that road, you can see the piano keys or the white strips on the road.
Yeah.
And then off to the side, there is a bit of space. And that's exactly right, Dids. They pull off to the side of the road and treat whoever they need to treat. You know, I think it was In 2010, there were a couple of pensioners who rolled their cars, right, and the RFDS landed in exactly that spot and pretty much saved their lives.
Going back to my aviation days and my training, that would be the apron that you pull off onto, wouldn't it?
That's it. That's it. Good work, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, well done.
I've seen those. So we did Nullarbor a few years ago, Jess, and I saw the Royal Flying Doctor mentioned a few times, and we were thinking, how the hell do they get to land on here with the man? Because it is a busy road. It's one of the longest roads in the world, I think, across there in a straight, in terms of a straight line as well. So there's plenty of room to land, but there's also plenty of traffic on that road. So
there is. I said to the pilot afterwards, it was a fantastic fellow, Damien Heath. I said, how many times have you done this? And he said, no, that was my first. Oh. So I was glad that I knew that after we'd landed.
Yeah.
But it was, for them, it's really not that much different. It's obviously bitumen. The only difference is that there's a road at either end.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But, gee, it was spectacular. The most unbelievable country over that side of the world, obviously. Just that, those sheer cliffs. It really is the very edge of Australia. And so our pitches are really, really something, and we'll be putting them to air on Sunday night on 7 News.
Fantastic. Good on you, Jess. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, boys.
There you go. Jessica Adamson.
Won't have to change your channel Sunday night. We'll just go to the news straight into the Sunday night program.
Yeah, that's right.
104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, you know our very own Alice Cooper was in town last night?
Sure was.
I was desperate to go, but because, you know, I'm so committed to this program, exactly. I didn't go out during the week.
Not a school night.
But Alice the Wag did, and in fact, she's not in this morning. She's flying to Melbourne for a course.
Oh, she's not hungover.
No, but she's at the airport. But she went and saw Alice Cooper last night. Alice, first question, were you named after Alice Cooper?
Well, it was either that or Alice from the Brady Bunch, and I think after last night, I'd definitely rather be Alice Cooper.
Oh, he was on fire, was he?
He was on fire. It was the most phenomenal concert I've ever seen.
Yeah, I remember years ago, things like he used to rip the heads off chooks on stage and do all of these sorts of bloodthirsty things. Was there anything like that last night?
There was a few of blood-covered shirts that he was wearing and, like, lots of knife tricks, and there was this, like, Asian kind of doll that he kind of played with, which was a bit weird, but still enjoyable.
What do you mean played with?
He just like
fondled
things. Yeah, he fondled.
Oh no!
Come on, keep it clean, please. Please. Come on.
Well, we had to sort of clear up what she meant there. So, what was the highlight of the night for you, Alice?
Probably seeing my mum dance.
Right.
Me and mum ran to the front, so we were pretty close. God. And it was these two blondies, and one lady was like, "Could you just like control your elbows?" She got really mad at me. Oh. So
control your elbows. What'd you get reported?
It was stressful. Yeah, well, I was like, I'm so sorry if I hit you. And she was like, no, you haven't touched me, but I foresee you touching me.
Oh, right. So
okay.
I told her to learn how to have some fun. But
How did that advice go down?
Yeah, it didn't go down well, and then mum had to swap spots with me.
Now,
I was definitely the youngest one there. There was a lot of oldies there, a lot of black t-shirts. Wow. But it was very fun.
Roo, can I just tell you that to understand Alice the Wag, you have to meet her mum and dad. Then it explains everything.
I've been lucky enough to do that. Yeah,
I tell you.
What was the hit song for the night, Wag?
I liked "Only Women Bleed." He came out all dressed in blood, and he did this acoustic cover. He was the only one on stage. And Ace Frehley from Kiss was his support band.
You're joking?
Yeah. So it was amazing, and he played a guitar that had a smoke machine in it.
Oh, wow. Oh,
gee, so that was pretty phenomenal.
Haven't we missed out, Roo? Right?
Yeah.
No. All right, Alice the Wag, get on that flight, enjoy Melbourne, and I hope you come back smarter and better.
What are you doing today, Wag?
Yeah.
I'm just going to a producers conference to learn how to produce you guys better.
All right, well, so you've done
emotional intelligence.
Now, your brain's going to be sore this weekend.
Yeah. I know, I've done two in one week, and I'm putting in a lot for this team, so I hope you guys appreciate it.
Right. One day you could come to work if you like.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoy your 8:10 interview with Bryce Gibbs, because I organised that one. So
the one that was on the rush hour last night.
We get a good exclusives on our show.
Good on you, Alice. Well done.
See you, Wag. Have a good day.
Guys.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella, they're closer than you think.